It's that time of year, folks. It's who's going to do what, who needs to do what, and how can they get there. Me and Rob Riker are going to go through today everything you need to know on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So welcome in, folks. Rob Rang from Fox Sports, as well as Locked On Seahawks. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing very well, Ryan. Thanks for having me, as always. I'm kind of eager to break down. We've got some fun topics today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, we're in the lull now, right? So we're just waiting for real action to occur. And that's always the hardest part of the season for me. I don't know about you. I could nap, but I get twitchy. So it is what it is. So, you know, when you take a look at the bigger picture, right, like there are teams that are kind of under the gun. There are teams that had to make big moves, whether it be in free agency or certainly in the draft class, teams that took some chances. So I'm eager to hear really off the top, like who's the team that because of pressure from ownership or pressure from last season in the fan base or risk that they took in the offseason, who needs to hit the ground running in your mind and get off to a fast start this season?
Well, to me, there's three clubs that just immediately jump to the forefront. Certainly the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they got to figure out what's going on at the quarterback position. We all know about that. And because, you know, you and I, of course, covering teams a little bit more west, Kansas City and Seattle, of course, we talk a lot about the teams out west. So I'm going to kind of focus in on the east. I think the two New York clubs, the New York Jets with, their big aggressive moves, trading back up into the first round, having the three first round picks, and then the New York Giants with their selections as well. All the pressure on Daniel Jones to be successful at the quarterback position. You have other first round selections like Saquon Barkley, obviously, who has yet to pan out as well. I really think that those three clubs, again, New York Jets, New York Giants, and the Carolina Panthers, I think that they have to kind of hit the ground running a little bit. Otherwise, they have some people there could be in trouble.
Well, you took two of my three, so well done. The other one that I'm going to throw into the ring is the Atlanta Falcons, probably for a very specific reason. But let's take a step back. This is an older quarterback with the Giants, a second-year quarterback with the Jets, and then rookies with both of our other teams. So for me, who do you think has the best support and that pressure is going to be from the fan base to do well because they've given you what you need, quote unquote?
Well, I think the Jets have all the talent to be successful. I really love what they've done there. And I'm a big fan of Zach Wilson. I guess I would mention the Giants because of the experience that you just kind of alluded to with Daniel Jones. But at the same time, I wasn't as high on Daniel Jones. I'm not at all surprised that he has proven himself to be kind of a decent starting quarterback, but certainly not somebody who's going to move the meter and make you a Super Bowl contender. And so I think that the Jets fans of these four teams that we just mentioned, I think they're the ones that should be the most excited. But at the same time, because of that excitement, the pressure is that much higher. At the same time, I think the Giants are the ones that – maybe should be kind of, rubbing their hands a little bit because, like, if this is not the group that is going to be successful, if Daniel Jones is not going to have success with Brian Daboll, calling the shots on, that much more of an offensive mentality, then I really think that the Giants know what they have to do. They have to move on from Daniel Jones, which, of course, they've already kind of somewhat done in that they have not extended him in that fifth year of his rookie contract. But I think that everybody in, Big Blue is kind of hoping that Jones does seize that position this year. So I think that there's an awful lot of pressure there as well.
Yeah. I mean, fingers crossed all across town, right? Yeah. I mean, and it's not just the quarterbacks. It is about what the franchise have done. But these four teams in particular, the quarterbacks are at the front of the conversation. And so in Carolina that you brought up first, does Darnold turn it around? Does Matt Corral, take over at some point? Either or, I think, is a victory for that staff, and I think buys them more time. But does it matter which one to you?
I think with Carolina, I'm I mentioned before that I wasn't quite as high on Daniel Jones. And if I want to pat myself on the back for his lack of success, then fine. I'll put myself in the firing line here because I was very, very high on Sam Darnold. And I continue to be surprised that he has not had more success. And so I kind of am waiting to see what's going to happen here with Carolina. I really think that the receiver talent that they have there, certainly getting Christian McCaffrey back for a full season, I think is going to be critical for Darnold. And so, like I mentioned before, with Daniel Jones in New York, I think that this is put up or shut up time for Darnold and for Matt Rhule by extension. And I have enough faith in both Darnold and Rhule that I really think the Carolina might be the kind of the surprise team. And the Atlanta Falcons, I love that you mentioned them. I'm really curious to see what happens there. Mariota, Ritter, you know, I just like the way that that team is being built there. They're kind of going the slow, steady way. And I think that that's the way to actually be successful. I like how they're building their club. But it is going to require some patience there, I think. And that's the thing is that the time to attack, you know, in the NFC South is right now with Brady, obviously, at the edge of his career with Tampa Bay. I mean, whoever is going to find that next stud quarterback in the NFC South really has a chance to be a power team in that division for an awful long time. So I like Atlanta's kind of slow, methodical approach. Build your team and then find your quarterback. At just the same time, you're going to have to start being successful. Otherwise, you could see a clean out of that entire franchise.
That's exactly my thought. And that brings me to where I'm at on the Falcons is they need to make progress right now, or else this slow, steady pace is going to get artificially accelerated, in my opinion. You're going to get ownership. You're going to get fan base pressure. So it's got to be you made the investment in Pitts. Now you've got Drake and you've got Ritter. If the coaching staff messes around and lets Marcus Mariota run this team for half of a season, I'm going to view that as a missed opportunity because you need to take your lumps with the young guy. You made the investment. I know it was just the third round, but still, because if you don't start winning, it's going to be more difficult and you're going to get yourself in more of the conundrum of, do we now take another quarterback? And then that leads to the whole upheaval of the fan base. So I think for the continuity of the club and to continue on this course, I think it's important for them to get off the snide early and just make the change, live with your lumps, and get that progress started. So that's where I'm coming. Now, it's not just about those teams, folks. There are rookie classes that need to play big this season in order to find success. We're going to talk about them on the backside of this, but they're just parts in a cog right now. And if you need parts yourself, you need to go to rockauto.com because that's where you can find everything you need. You don't need a store. You don't need to call anybody up. You don't need somebody clicking on a computer that you can't do for yourself. So say 50 or even 100%. That means that you're paying more, or you're paying less than what they would have charged you in the first place. That's what 100% means. It's a family business and they take care of you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer like me or a professional that's working on the side. It's all right. Go to rockauto.com, fill your cart with all the parts you need, put Locked On in that box that says, how did you hear about us? That'll let them know that we sent you. And you will enjoy amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car or truck is ever going to need over at rockauto.com. Now, this is my favorite part because you did all the investment, you did all the evaluation, you built your board, you made your picks. Maybe you were as successful as you wanted, maybe you weren't. But and when you take it all in for the rookies themselves, whether it's UDFAs climbing off the bottom or those teams that had multiple first-round selections, who do you think has to hit the big rookie season in order for the team to have a successful 2022?
Well, I mentioned them before. I think the New York Jets just making the big time selections that they made at the very top of their draft. I mean, you have the three first round picks. I mean, if we were just to kind of break those guys down, you know, right off the bat, I mean, I think that's kind of where you have to start off. And I'm scrolling down here real quickly to try and find their entire draft class. I apologize, now I'm just spacing. Here we finally go. Okay, obviously Sauce Gardner at number 4 overall, right? And so you're getting that long, lanky cornerback we talked about before that, you know, just fits in so well in Robert Saleh's defense. Then you get the wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, going from Zach Wilson to Garrett Wilson. You're hoping that there is a reason why Wilson is literally printed on the NFL's footballs. It's because of the rapport that these two players are going to be able to establish immediately. Jermaine Johnson, the pass rusher from Florida State, was a guy guy that you might remember. And I was just so high, and I'm stunned that he fell all the way down to number 26 overall. I love the Jets went up and got him. I just really think that his ability to come in and make an immediate impact on the defensive side of the ball, obviously the head coach Robert Saleh's specialty, if they are able to have some immediate impact on the defensive side of the ball with Sauce and with Jermaine Johnson off the edge, then I think that that just buys their offense so much more time. And I don't think they necessarily is going to need to have that much more time, because I think they got an absolute superstar in their second round pick, the running back Breece Hall. And so again, it's, I just think that this is a draft class that looks like it is ready to hit the ground, not only running, but soaring off like a jet should. And at the same time, again, that puts an awful lot of pressure on them. So I'm excited about this draft class, but at the same time, I really think that they have got to be successful immediately, because we know how that New York pressure can build.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, the team that stands out is one that we've lauded ever since draft night in round one. It is the Baltimore Ravens, because right now there's an opportunity. The Steelers quarterback situation is going to have them suppressed. The craziness in Cleveland with their quarterback position has them suppressed. Yes, the Bengals are a force. They haven't had that much turnover here. Like, their rookie class, I don't think, is even projected to play that many snaps this season. So it's a head-to-head. You are the Baltimore Ravens. You have Lamar Jackson. You have to take advantage of what you've done. And in order to be successful, you have to grab it by the horns right now with this rookie class. And if they can pay off, especially in the trenches, for me, it's about three picks in particular: Lindenbaum, Travis Jones, and Kyle Hamilton. If those three guys can play well at the beginning, they have a chance to push the Bengals, I think, for the division and be in that competition. Am I overestimating the impact those three or the class can have?
No, I think that you're absolutely hitting the nail on the head. I wonder about the Cincinnati Bengals as well, and their ability to hold court. They obviously go into the Super Bowl a year ago, but there's a lot of people out there who very much subscribe to the theory that you look at what teams that lost the Super Bowl, what they did the next year. It's just physically taxing on their bodies with the extra games that they played the previous season. It's emotionally and mentally taxing as well. So I think that the time is now for the Baltimore Ravens, and they have the draft class to be able to take full advantage of that. When you were kind of starting to describe, though, the team that really has an opportunity here to kind of take off, I thought you were going to mention the Philadelphia Eagles, because I think that they're very much in that same kind of a situation. Because we just talked about with the New York Giants, they have their own issues. Dallas Cowboys every year have all of the roster that looks great, but isn't able to kind of put it all together. And of course, Washington Commanders kind of the exact opposite of that. They seem like they play pretty tough, but they don't necessarily have the great deal of skill position talent to put them over the top. The Philadelphia Eagles, being able to still acquire extra picks next year, so that kind of lessens the pressure on Howie Roseman. But at the same time, I think that when you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, then you have to either win with him right now, or the clock is going to start ticking on him as well. Gardner Minshew is a good quality player behind him, but he's not necessarily the guy, to take you to the promised land. So I like their draft class. You mentioned three for the Baltimore Ravens. I'll mention three for Philadelphia. Jordan Davis, obviously the big man in the middle, and we just know what a big force that he can be for the national champ Georgia Bulldogs here this past season. And then Cam Jurgens, what he might be able to provide Philadelphia very early in his NFL career if called upon, because you just got to love the depth that Philadelphia already has up front. And then Nakobe Dean, the linebacker, who, getting ahead of myself here, but one of the things that we were going to be talking about soon was kind of offensive and defensive rookie of the year candidates. And I think that Dean could be at the top of the class this year, appropriately enough, just because of the fact that his instincts and all of the attention that I think the NFC East is going to generate this year, I think that Nakobe Dean could be a kind of a guy that helps the Philadelphia Eagles rookie class really wind up standing out.
Ooh, I like where you're going there. We might have more than one linebacker on that discussion. We're going to get to that here in a minute, folks, though. So just hold your horses, because you need a snack to make it through the rest of the show. And I got a good one for you. It's over at BuiltBar.com. You can get everything that you need of the new Mud Pie. That's like whipped cream, chocolate. It's still all the protein. It's still only 150 calories. It's still only 8 grams of sugar. And you can have like this super thing with like cookie crumbles on top. And it's like, I don't know if Croc will stop at one box is basically what it comes down to. So you want to go check those out. They're called Mud Pie. You can get them in puffs. You can get them in standard. You can get them anywhere at built.com because they're all over there and it's 100% real chocolate. They give you all the macros that you need and you don't have to feel guilty about eating them as, you know, a snack. Don't do it at midnight, but you know what I mean. It works. Get that chocolate mousse over at the Mud Pie at built.com where you can use our code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next purchase at built.com. Okay, so the art of the tease goes to Rob Rang today. So we are going to discuss awards, candidates, like who has a situation that could maybe put them in contention for that. Do you want to start with Dean and just lay the table bare?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think that N'Kobe Dean, you know, for Philadelphia Eagles, I think he has a chance to really put up some splashy numbers as a rookie. As I mentioned previously, the NFC East, I think, is going to have an awful lot of eyes on it this year, even more than normal, just given the question marks in New York. Obviously, everything going on in Washington, you know, and the Dallas Cowboys, of course, just they literally have a star on their helmet for a reason. So again, I just think that the Eagles are poised to really take that next step, in my opinion. I think this draft class kind of sets them up to do so. Jordan Davis, I think, is going to make some of those eye-popping plays, but I don't think that he's going to have the numbers that are going to be able to generate kind of rookie of the year consideration. I think that the most likely position for defensive rookie of the year is probably going to be one of those pass rushers. There's a reason why we saw all those pass rushers come off the board. And as you know, sacks are the sexy number, the sexy statistic when it comes to defensive players. So that is the most likely scenario. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a guy like Thibodeau with the Giants or Hutchinson, you know, with the Lions, you know, if they wind up becoming defensive rookie of the year candidates, even Kurloftis with the Kansas City Chiefs. But at the same time, for me, in terms of just the consistency to be able to put a team over the hump, I think N'Kobe Dean makes an awful lot of sense as a defensive rookie of the year favorite.
Oh, he certainly does. And I like where you're going there. I would favor Thibodeau amongst the pass rushers because of the quarterbacks that he's facing and the offensive lines that he'll have to get through. But that's just me. The guy that stands out to me, though, is, again, because of the quarterbacks that he's facing in Matt Ryan, in second-year Trevor Lawrence, and then whatever's going to happen in Tennessee. I wonder if Derek Stingley isn't carrying a grudge that, hey, you counted me out. I still got drafted high. Now I'm going to make you pay. Because I think he is that kind of alpha, I'm going to prove you wrong type guy. And those three quarterbacks in particular make me think he's going to have plenty of opportunity. And maybe it's Malik and maybe it's Ryan in Tennessee. I don't know. But when they put the ball in the air, I feel like he's the type of guy that can go make the most of it. So he's kind of my favorite right now. When I was going to give an honorable mention to Devin Lloyd as well. Another guy that I think is going to be a really nice all-around addition. So that's the defensive side. So the offensive side is really the non-quarterbacks, and then we'll talk about who you think is the best quarterback rookie of the year. So if you're not throwing the ball, who do you like on the offensive side in terms of their situation? Who could make that rookie of the year push?
Well, we talked previously about the Atlanta Falcons, and I wonder about Drake London. I mean, obviously, he was the first receiver selected this year, and you know, for Atlanta to make such a bold move there, you know, and the fact that you have Kyle Pitts, I mean, it's going to be kind of the two-headed monster. It's going to get an awful lot of footballs thrown in their direction, whether it be Mariota or Ridder. Still, you have two quarterbacks who aren't necessarily the most accurate guys. And that ties in so beautifully with what Drake London does. I mean, just he's got those go gadget arms and, you know, and his body control, his physicality. I mean, he can just truly beast mode cornerbacks. Now, there's some really good cornerbacks in the NFC South. And so that would be kind of the caveat I'd have to kind of throw out there is that, you know, he's going to have to be very good against the elite competition. I like the fact that you kind of mentioned, you know, what they might be facing here with Stingley, who I think is a spectacular selection for a defensive rookie of the year favorite, just because of those ball skills. He is going to make some big plays. But on the offensive side of the ball, for me, I have to mention Drake London. I got to mention the running back here in Seattle. I mean, Rashad Penny has done nothing but show that he cannot be relied upon. Even wound up sitting out one day here in the mini camps for Seattle, which kind of caused a lot of surprise there. But Ken Walker, I mean, you just got to watch his tape. You can see what a talent he is. And we all know that Pete Carroll is going to push to run the football, especially now without Russell Wilson at the helm. So I think that there's a lot of chance for a running back to put up some numbers because, as you mentioned, the quarterbacks are going to be terrible. We may not see a quarterback start more than a handful of the games this year. So if there's not a quarterback starting very many games, they can't be in the really in the conversation. And typically quarterbacks wind up winning offensive rookie of the year with, of course, Ja'Marr Chase last year being an exception.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned Ken Walker because Croc and I had a fight the last week as I put him with my number one rookie spot because I agree. And Carson, who knows what's going to happen with him either, right?
Yeah, so like, exactly.
Just the volume is, yeah. I my eye keeps going back to Chris Olave because I just feel like there's a it's balanced with Kamara with Thomas. Yes, I know it's Jameis Winston and he could throw more interceptions than touchdowns this year. Who knows? But I just feel like because of the spread of volume of talent there, that he's going to have a role that he doesn't have to carry as much load as say a Garrett Wilson or a Drake. Because outside of he and Pitts, I don't know what they're going to do. We'll get to that later, folks. But for me, my eye keeps coming back to Chris Olave because I think he's going to have, again, enough target share that he could really do something as well. So that brings us to the rookie class of quarterbacks. And like you said, this is usually a quarterback contest, really. But with the availability of snaps for this rookie class, it's a big question mark. So let me start by this. Who do you think plays the most of the rookie quarterbacks?
I think it might come down to Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. With all due respect to Kenny Pickett, I mean, you start listening to the offensive coordinator, the head coach. I mean, they are all saying that it is very easily Mitch Trubisky number one, maybe even then Mason Rudolph number two, and then Pickett. And so I don't know that you're necessarily going to see. I mean, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is as old school as it gets. You know, so I know that Kenny Pickett is the one who is the most pro ready and all that kind of talk. We talk about that all year long. But at the same time, I really think that the way that the rosters are set up, the level of success to be reasonably expected by the Atlanta Falcons compared to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ridder gets his opportunity a little bit earlier. And, you know, you and I are both high on Ridder. I mean, so yeah. I think that he could kind of hit the ground running, so to speak. He obviously does have some skill position talent there around him. And we know with Smith calling the shots from the offensive side of the ball there, they like to run the ball. They want to control the clock. They're going to cater to Ritter's skills. It's not going to be, you know, this fun and gun kind of offense that doesn't really fit what Ridder does. So that's one of the reasons why I kind of like him as the quarterback who might surprise the quickest of this rookie class.
I like that one too. I can't argue with you. In fact, I was going to mention him, but I will say this, because it's not that weapon rich in Atlanta. If Malik Willis can get in there by week four or so, get three quarters of a season under his belt, I think he might have the edge because I do think between the running game and what he's going to be able to do with his feet as well, I think he's going to have a chance to be explosive with that group. I know Trey Burks hasn't worked out the way they want so far, so I think it will come back down to the quarterback, the RPO situation, what they can do with him. So he would probably be my second. But that's where we stand on the rookie class and who might be the big names coming this season. Obviously, we should probably wait till training camp to have a better idea, but that's where we sit right now. It is June, folks, so we have to start looking for some kind of things to look forward to. So thanks for spending your time with us. You can listen to Rob Rang over on Locked On Seahawks. You can read him on Fox Sports. You can check me out on NFL33.com or RogueAPC.com, and you can see RGR Football. And that's it for us today. Thanks for listening. Rob, thanks for the time. Appreciate it as always. And folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow for more Locked On NFL Draft.